Baskets of Fire by Witi Hiriaka. A cold, southerly wind is blowing. It's the kind of wind that has snow on its breath. It's the kind of wind that makes you wish you were cozy and warm at home. And it's the kind of wind that makes me think of a story from many, many years ago. The story of Matarōirangi and the Baskets of Fire. Matarōirangi was a brave explorer. He was also a powerful tohunga. A tohunga is an expert. And Matarōirangi was an expert in many things. He knew about the stars and the sea. He also knew about magic. He lived a very long time ago, when the first people came and made Aotearoa their home. Matarōirangi came from Hawaiki on the great waka, Te Arawa. He used his knowledge of the stars, the sea, and the birds to guide the waka on that long journey. When he arrived in Aotearoa, he set off to explore the new land. He travelled inland from the coast with his slave, Ngaruhoe. Matarōirangi found a place with a huge lake and many mountains. Today, we call that place Taupō. Near the lake, he saw a magnificent mountain. Its beauty was reflected in the calm waters of the great lake below. Matarōirangi wanted to claim the mountain for his people. The land here was good, and the mana of the mountain would protect them. However, there were two other explorers in the area. Their names were Tia and Hape Kituarangi. Matarōirangi knew he had to climb the mountain and claim it before they did. When he lived in Hawaiki, Matarōirangi was able to ask the Atua, gods, for help. They would listen to him. Of course, being Atua, they didn't always do exactly what he asked them to do. He hadn't called on the Atua in this new land yet, but he knew he needed their help now. Matarōirangi asked them to send a storm so that no one else would try to climb the mountain before him. Straight away, Tawhiri Mātea sent cold winds, sleet, and snow. Matarōirangi had never felt such a terrible storm. His cloak was useless. The cold seemed to stab right through his body and go deep into his bones. Ngaruhoe begged him to turn back, but Matarōirangi kept climbing. He was a brave and proud man. In Hawaiki, Matarōirangi was known to the Ahitipua, the children of Ruamuko. They were the fire demons who lived under the earth. He stamped his feet on the icy ground, hoping to bring them to the surface. Perhaps their warmth would save him and Ngaruhoe. But in this new land, he could not feel them. On this mountain, he could not feel their warmth at all. Matarōirangi knew he was freezing to death. He hoped he had enough power to send a message to his sisters back home in Hawaiki. He spoke his words even though his teeth were chattering with the cold. He spoke his words even though he only had the strength to whisper. He spoke his words even though they seemed to be ripped from his mouth and scattered by the wind. Back in Hawaiki, his sisters suddenly felt a cold breeze. Then they felt the sting of ice on their faces. They drew their cloaks closer around themselves. Even though it was warm in Hawaiki, they could see their breath hang frozen in the air. Then they heard the voice of Matorairangi whispering, "Oh, my sisters, send me fire." They filled kete with embers from deep within the earth, Ahitipua. Then they called on the demigods Te Pupu and Te Hoata to carry the kete to Aotearoa. Te Pupu and Te Hoata raced beneath the ocean. As they ran, the hot embers burnt a tunnel through the rock. The kete were heavy. Sometimes Te Pupu and Te Hoata had to stop and rest. They were in such a rush, they didn't notice that each time they stopped, they left some of the embers behind. They stopped at Whakaari, Motuhora, Rotorua, Rotoiti, Tarawera, Orakei, Korako, Wairakei, and Tukanu. When finally they reached Tongariro and found Ngatoroirangi, there was only one kete left. There weren't enough embers to warm both Ngatoroirangi and Ngaruhoe. Ngatoroirangi was very angry at Te Pupu and Te Hoata for being so careless. He stamped his foot. It made a large hole or crater in the side of the mountain. He tipped the last embers into the crater. The heat from the mountain was enough to save him, but it was too late for Ngaruhoe. Now Ngatoroirangi could feel Ahitipua beneath him. From the top of the mountain, he could see the path Te Pupu and Te Hoata had followed on their journey. The journey that brought volcanic fire to Aotearoa. Look at the map on page 31. These are the place names you can see there. Whakaari, Motuhora, Rotorua, Rotoiti, Tarawera, Orakei Korako, Wairakei, Lake Taupō, Tokanu, Tongariro, Ngaruhoe, and the Ruapehu. The mountains still tell the story of Ngatoroirangi in their names. Tongariro, which means strong southerly wind, and Ngaruhoe, the slave of Ngatoroirangi. The place where he received the last kete is called Ketetahi. The descendants of Ngatoroirangi still live under the protection of the mountain he climbed so long ago. So whenever a cold southerly blows and your teeth chatter, remember the story of Ngatoroirangi and his baskets of fire.